time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone, bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
Welcome back, Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got Brian Falconer, co-host extraordinaire.
I'm back.
What's going on, bro?
Hey, man. Doing good.
As usual. So, you had a good week.
Most definitely.
Little trip down to memory lane.
Yeah.
East St. Louis.
Went back to East St.
So, how's your family doing?
Man, everybody's doing good, man. My son came down from Nebraska. One daughter flew in. It was very a good event. It really was. It was something I hadn't had.
How was the drive?
It was a different drive because I didn't take 277 to 44. Went 20 east to Dallas and took 75 to 69. 69 to 44.
Oh.
That gave me one toll to play, so I paid $2.75.
Oh, that's not bad.
And in 30 minutes, I was in Joplin, so I was already in Missouri.
And did you like that drop better?
Oh, heck yeah. Shaved 2 hours off of it, too.
Nice.
Yeah, bro. And then I saved, $18? Because it's $20 and some change to go across them tolls.
Oh, I didn't know that. So when you go up the regular way, it's toll roads now.
All toll roads on 44 in Oklahoma.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because back in the 80s or 90s, it wasn't that way.
It's toll roads now.
Wow. So let's tell everybody what we're smoking. I don't know what we're smoking. You brought back something, and it says Craft Puro.
Yeah. I went to Wednesday night when I got in. Went to to a cigar lounge in St. Louis called Charles P. Stanley's. It's downtown St. Louis, and I met four of my friends I went to high school with, and it was a good place, man. You know, I only had two hangups.
What?
First of all, they would not allow you in the humidor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the reason behind that?
The reason behind that is COVID.
Oh,
they still have some COVID restrictions up there. So it only the tobacconist or the manager or the bartender could go back in there. And they had like a wine list with all the cigars on it. And I'm sitting there reading this. And I'm like, nah, man, I like to see.
I got
to
have a picture.
Yeah. I want to see exactly what I'm smoking. Because you can bring me out. And I'm like, nah, I don't want this. Because it could be the worst one in there. But they had a nice small collection. The humidor was nowhere near what we're used to. It was about the size of the old leaf. And they had McAuliffe in there. They had only three facings of Roma Craft: Whiskey Rebellion, Aquitaine, and the Neanderthal. Those are the only three that they had. And I was like, wow. Then you look at the list, and I'm like.
Also, to be fair, you're kind of spoiled on the Roma Craft selection.
I'm spoiled on a lot of things. And I was looking at the list, and I was like, man, this is a lot of stuff. This is a lot of general cigars, you know.
Right.
You know, brands that everybody knows. And I was like, man, this is. So I got a Fuente and the three Roma Crafts, and I was done. Then they had this Sip and Smoke, where for $40, you got the three cigars that we're smoking tonight. And you got two tickets to win.
Look at that ash on your cigar, dude.
Yes, sir.
That
yes,
is
sir.
Perfection.
Yes, sir.
You know what pisses me off?
What?
Is mine's over here tunnel burning. Like you see I'm smashing it on the side.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's, yeah. I mean, look at the hole in the middle.
And this one is burning.
I look
perfect.
Over, and yours looks like a stack of dimes.
Yeah.
Always the bullshit.
But it was cool because you spent $40. You got the three sticks. You got a chance to win a $200 bottle of bourbon, a box of Fuentes.
Now, what was the $200 bottle of bourbon?
I didn't see it.
Oh,
I never saw it. And you also got to sip seven other bourbons that they had there.
You see the hole?
Yeah, I see it. Nah, you do. Dang, man.
And I mean, it's deep. So when you tunnel burn, I mean, look at that, dude.
You put that earphone jack in there.
That's how far that went.
Dang.
What is that? At least an inch.
Yeah, that's more than an inch. Yeah.
Well, that's what she said. Yeah. So I'm taking a headphone jack, just the jack, and I put it in the hole where it's tunnel burning. And no joke. I mean, that right there is, when I pull that out, Yeah, that's about an inch. Yeah. But an inch is a long ways, the tunnel burn, and I've only been smoking it for like, look, that's what I cut off of it.
Luck of the draw again.
I think it's a curse. There's no luck involved. I'm always the one getting the ones that don't smoke. Oh, wow. Look, dude, I cut it off, and now I'm not at the ash anymore.
Yeah.
Or even the, but look, the it's still.
Just a little bit now. You got about, what, a
half inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I only cut a half inch off, so now we're down to a half inch, but holy crap.
And
I'm going to have to cut it down a little bit more if I'm going to try to smoke it any, because otherwise it's just going to keep tunnel burning. See, now I think, well, it's still soft right there.
Not just it. I'm not going to say that because you'll run with that. But it was not that much went in there that time.
Well, I mean, it was a quarter inch.
Yeah. I was going to say like something else, but that would open the door and the PG-13 would have been gone real quick. But.
Mm. And it, I mean, I'm sad because it's a good flavored cigar.
And that's what I'm getting from this. It's, this one is, which has a skull and an anchor on it with the CP on it. It's, I died out. I'm dying out.
Oh, there you go. Okay. My cord getting away.
Yeah, and it's woodsy, a little leather, some white, like white pepper, and everything is good. And I'm still in the first third, but
well, you know, I'm yeah, knee deep in the second third now
from cutting
that I cut off the first third. And so anyway, it's weird because when I started this cigar, it was kind of like a chocolate, like a dark chocolate,
okay,
a little semi-sweet,
okay,
and smooth. Ooh. And now that I've cut all the way into the second third, uh-huh, now it's spicy as can be.
So you didn't get that point
I didn't get the transition. It just was, here's a little chocolate, here's boom, some boom spice. Oh, and did you see what the, I saw what the, you see what the name of this cigar is? Mm-hmm. It's called Up Your Ass.
You are lying.
Take the cigar and shove it up your ass. That's how it works when Rob gets a cigar.
And this one's still.
Dude, look at that ash you got. Guys, I'm promising you, I'm looking over here and I'm like, and you know why one of the reasons I picked the cigar, because I thought both of those felt pretty firm, uh-huh, and I was afraid the draw would be tight.
Oh, the draw is perfect.
I see. It's I see. And the burn line is freaking amazing. There you go. He's that's taking a selfie of the photo, and I'm photobombing him with my middle finger.
Yes, he is. So people can see what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice burn. Wow.
But anyway, you walk into, you know me, I have the leaf in my mind, and you walk into the lounge, and the first thing you see is a bar. There's a bar right in the middle of the lounge, and everybody sits around it. Then they have a secluded section off to the front that faces Washington Street, which is just the main street that it's on. And there's two couches and some chairs, some lounge chairs right there. And their entire back wall is all lockers. So I'm like, okay, so that means that there's no members area in here. Everything is out front. Okay, so I saw that. It was in the beginning before the event, it was, you know, a good, it wasn't really loud.
And it wasn't crowded.
And there was a crowd, but it just wasn't loud.
But once the event started
then more people came in, and it got, you know, some events like we have at the Leaf, it got very loud. And I was like, yeah, there go that noise level now.
So let me ask you this, though. When you go in and you sit down and you have a cigar, is it a lounge, a smoke lounge atmosphere, or is it a bar atmosphere?
It is more of a bar atmosphere than a smoke lounge atmosphere.
Gotcha.
And that's what got me, because I was like, this is all about the bar, because the bar was, it was center stage.
I mean, did you have people in there that were drinking and not smoking?
Yes.
Okay.
There were some ladies that were drinking and not smoking.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But they had a good array of bourbons, though. That caught me off guard. I was like, wow, Angel's Envy, Weller's, things that we look for, they had there.
They have, like, Woodford.
That, you know, they did. That's what I got.
Double oak.
Double oak.
Nice.
I got.
Was a pour?
A pour, because I got a double, was
$42. Damn.
Yeah, it was $42.
You were uptown.
I bought like I said, I bought four sticks, the $40 for that, the pour, and...
Oh, you got a pour for that?
No, I bought the pour.
Oh.
The double pour.
So that was separate?
Yeah. I spent like $126.
Okay.
So I was like, phew. But, you know, the atmosphere being around, because we all play football together, so that overtook, you know, my
your budget
and my feelings. Right. I bought everybody a shot. I was like, man, go ahead, but it was my boys. I ain't buy everybody a shot. I brought my boys a shot, and we sat there, man. It was an opportunity, because like I got in around about 5 something, and they started showing up around 6 o'clock, and we didn't leave there to about, what was it, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I had a ball, man. I really
did. Y'all had a good time.
I had a good time, but I was scared to death, man. I was downtown St. Louis, baby. I had one in the chamber.
were you downtown St. Louis?
Downtown St. Louis.
Okay.
1000 in Washington.
Cobblestone.
Yes, right past the cobblestone. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you're looking like, whew.
And I remember going down there partying in the cobblestone district, and it was awesome.
Outrageous back then.
But at the same time, I don't know what it would be like now.
It's still the same. It's just more.
Is it still?
It's not our type of music or our type of crowd anymore. It's a younger crowd, and you know, we'll look at it like, nah, I ain't messing with that. But that's
how about the safetiness?
Well, was it safe down there? It's cameras every freaking where down there now. That's one thing that blew. If there's not cameras on the buildings and on the corners, the police have these portable cameras that they have in every I mean, I was like, good Lord. How many cameras? Everywhere you look with cameras.
Wow.
They're paying attention because they're trying to make.
They want to make it to where you can go down.
You can be safe downtown.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I applaud that, because, you know, once I saw all that, I was like, okay, I can calm down. Then I saw cops walking the beat. I was like, oh, they walking the beat downtown St. Louis. I said, yeah.
Did they have any horses? Because when I was they had horses.
They still have the horses, but I don't think they bring them out in the cold.
Gotcha.
I don't think they bring them out, because you used, but they still had the horse and buggies going, where people would get to ride on the buggy, you know, pay the ride.
Never. I've never done that. No. I don't want to smell horse's ass.
And I ain't had a girl, well, my wife now, but she don't want to go back to St. Louis. So.
Well, I just was like, that horse's ass is right there.
It is right there, too.
If you get a horse with gas.
Oh, man. God. All horses have gas.
I know.
Because of what they eat.
You hope he cleaned it out before you get started, but, you know.
Yeah, but it was, and then it was in the 50s, which was amazing, in November in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, this is perfect.
Being in the area of St. Louis, and that drive, I mean... Huh. Were the trees still had leaves and they were turned, or
yes,
they mostly
they were turned, and a lot. The closer I got to St. Louis, the less leaves I saw.
Yeah, but that drive
is beautiful
going through Missouri.
But here's the thing: this new route that I took, which took me through a different part of Oklahoma, but it's a shorter trip through Oklahoma. It's not that from Wichita Falls.
Anytime you can shorten the amount of time Oklahoma is a good thing.
A good thing. But I never saw a cop. And I mean, I was doing 80 and people were shooting past me. And I was like, I ain't drove this.
I mean, I've been that way.
Dude.
I've been all over Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't tell me a place in Oklahoma that I haven't been.
I got you.
Southwest, southeast, middle, north, north, middle. You know,
just Batch all of it
is from Ponca City. Yep. I've been there. Mm-hmm. You know, like Johnny Cash, whoever it was, I've been everywhere, man.
Everywhere, man. Yeah, and it was so quick. Not seeing cops, because you could do. But there's a few small towns you go through that I'm gonna slow down in, because you never know. But I still didn't see them. And folks were just shooting past. I'm like, yeah, bless y'all, because I'm not going to do it.
I spent a lot of years driving all over Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was cops everywhere.
And that's what I was looking for.
I remember me and a buddy worked together. And the reason I traveled Oklahoma was because I was a photographer.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we did church directories. And so
I can believe that in Oklahoma.
I was the photographer and my buddy was the sales guy.
Okay.
and he was driving, and we were doing like 85.
Back then.
This dude was a lead foot.
Woo.
And the speed limit was 60 or 65.
It might have been 55.
Well, I remember the cop coming up and saying, yeah, the reason I pulled you over is because you were going 85. And my buddy Chad, he pulls this one. He goes, oh, I didn't see a speed limit sign. And I said, well, if you would have, it wouldn't have said 85.
You said that?
And the cop started laughing. I was like, that's the worst line ever. I didn't see a speed limit. I know we're doing 20 over at least.
But if you did see one, it wasn't 85. Right. Yeah, man. But it was a great trip, man. And then
Did your wife go with you?
No, because
she had to work.
No, because the youngest, Taurus's youngest, is only a month old.
Oh, he can't make that trip. Gotcha.
Just like my youngest by my ex-wife couldn't come up because Luke is he's 3 weeks now. He just turned 3 weeks.
Boom.
Yeah, so they couldn't make that trip. And
The Falconer machine is just churning out those babies.
They get ready to have one this month.
Boom.
I'm sitting there looking at Becca. She wild. I was like, ooh, that baby whooping. Yeah, she said, yeah.
How old is your oldest grandchild?
My blood oldest is one.
Okay, so you're packing them all in there and just
The oldest
non-blood
is Avery, and she's 10.
Okay.
10 or 11.
Well, she got the getting while the getting was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because now that there's so many, you're going to be splitting up the good.
And it is split up.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's split up. But when there's just one,
it's a different story. But yeah, man, it was a great trip. I got up there. I got to see my sister's and her husband's new house. They had a house built. And for what they paid for that house, we couldn't get it here in Texas. And that amazes me. Because they spent $300 and something.
And where do they live?
In Lebanon, Illinois.
Lebanon,
Illinois. They spent $300 and some thousand or $300 and some change. And I promise you, he has over, if not close to, he is very close to 4,000 square feet. Full basement, three bedrooms in the basement, three bedrooms upstairs. I'm like, goodness gracious. And then I looked at it, I was like, wow. Wow.
Now which kid is that?
It's my baby sister.
Your baby sister?
And her husband, yeah. And her husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old is your baby sister?
She's 43.
Okay.
43.
Okay, so about 10 years, mm-hmm. A little more.
12 years.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So, my week, mm-hmm. since you didn't ask, was all work.
Work.
Yeah. In fact, I had an employee call me complaining about, you know, he was having to work on Thanksgiving and he would like to, you know, spend some time with his family. And I said, man, I completely understand because both of us drew the short straw and we're working today.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm here too, bro. So, you know, but, you know, I get it. People want to be home with their families when people get together because people don't get together like, you know, on a regular basis. So it is a special time. But also, when you work a job, you got to protect that job.
Yes.
So that's what I do.
And when I worked in that industry, I worked every Thanksgiving and Christmas. I worked, and I had little kids coming up, but it was just like the luck of the draw. I wound up out there working.
Right. So, I mean, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for the first 15 years, I worked Christmas.
Because I was in that industry 9 and a half. And I promise you, the entire 9 and a half, I worked Thanksgiving and Christmas. I had every Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
All right, man. So here's my review of the cigar you gave me.
Other than the tunneling, right now.
Okay. Well, we're going to go without the tunneling and without the clipping half of the cigar off. The last third was pretty good.
Okay.
I really disappointed I didn't get to smoke all of it, uh-huh. but I'm done.
Okay.
And so thank you for that. It was something.
Yeah. This one, I'm in the second, third.
Now. I see. Look at that ash.
Still another
still
new
going,
ash.
Going, dude.
And the flavor has transitioned from that that earthy, a little bit of spice to more of a chocolatey right now. A little bit of coffee taste to it. I'm digging this right now. I really wish I would do with the name of them. I even tried to call the lounge, but they didn't answer the phone. I was like, man, what were these things that they gave us that night? But,
so I'm about to light up Aganorsa Leaf Maduro.
Okay.
Good solid smoke.
You know. 100. We walk that walk and talk that talk.
Yeah, I've been enjoying these lately.
I got something to ask. Why didn't you ask me why I called my grandson Luke?
Why? Because he's a Star Wars nut?
No. His name, that's the baby. He ain't a nut yet. He's just 3 weeks old. But his name is DeLuca.
Mm.
So I'm like, I ain't calling him DeLuca.
DeLuca.
I said, Luke. I said, oh. So when I was talking to my daughter, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be doing this to him the rest of his life. She's like, what? We're like, Luke, I'm your grandfather. She just said, come on, man. I was like, yeah, I mean, that ain't funny. She's like, no.
It is.
She said, don't do that to my son. I said, I'm going to do it for the rest of his life. Every time I see him.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah. Every time I see him, I'll be like, Luke, I'm your grandfather. I can see him not just looking at me like, really? Like I don't know.
Right.
You tell me that every time you see me. But so, I love it, man. I really do.
So when did you get back?
Got back yesterday evening around about.
Did your team play yesterday?
Yeah.
Did they win?
They won.
Who'd 13, they beat?
They beat the Saints 13 to zip.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know the Cowboys won.
Yeah. You and my stepson.
I mean, I'm just saying.
He called me 30 times. Did you see that? I was like, it was 7 points, man. Look who y'all was playing.
Oh, it was more than seven.
What was it?
I want to say it was like 31 to 17.
I don't remember all that. Well, I was driving anyway, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I half-heartedly watched it, to be honest with you.
But then I looked at us like, you guys are 7-2 now? 7-2? Yeah, 7-2.
I thought we were 7-3.
7-3? Okay, I know it's 7 wins.
Yeah.
And Philly won last night, so they're 9-1. And the Giants, because you all beat the Giants.
And so they beat the Skins, too, didn't
we? So they went 6-4 now. But y'all still have, the East is still the strongest division in the NFC.
Every team has a winning record.
Has a winning record. Yep, yeah. Every team has a winning record.
And when everybody thought they were going to be like the schlubs of the league.
True. Very true. But y'all, every team, I was like, man, you got to look at this. And then we changed everything once we bought everybody got healthy and we bought McCaffrey back in. So not back in, but it's a different world now.
So I saw during the Cowboy game that everybody was talking about trying to get Odell Beckham to come be a Cowboy.
Cowboy. It's either Cowboy or Giant. They talking about 49ers is still in there, but I don't think we're going to go after him. And it's one other team. It's three teams now.
Well, I hope that the Cowboys don't pick him up.
Okay.
He wants 30 mil.
Woo.
Like, I was like, you know, he's coming back from an Achilles. Woo. Is that what he was coming back from?
Good Lord.
Or whatever. Maybe it was a knee. I don't know. But regardless, I'm like,
30 mil.
Dude, I was thinking, like, if you were 2 million for 1 year, we would do that. Maybe 4 million for 1 year. But we're not doing. I mean, he's 31 years old. We're not going to sign a contract with a 31-year-old for 30 mil.
Wow.
So I don't. I mean, if Jerry Jones did that, it would not surprise me, but it would be another one of those, here we go again. I mean, you remember Terrell Owens and that whole saga. Uh-huh. And you know what? I thought Terrell Owens was a stellar player for the Cowboys in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Then he got the age got up to him and the attitude got even worse. So,
well, the attitude got bad because he was getting thrown shit balls.
But it was his quarterback, man. Stop talking about my quarterback. Ain't that what he said? He was crying.
I don't remember that. But I'm saying that, you know, being the problem child that he was, the darling
The diva.
The diva wide receiver. He really was solid, but the thing about it is, that was when we had Parcells, and Parcells didn't want Terrell Owens.
He didn't.
And Jerry forced that on him. And so that right there tells you everything. You got the tuna, and you're not going with what he does.
That's why the tuna left.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he left.
You know, when they announced that he was going to be a coach for the Cowboys, I was drinking the Kool-Aid.
Because he can bring, he brings that persona, that streak. He makes winners. He does.
You know why I was excited? Because I thought he was the one coach
that would,
that would not take bullshit from Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And it turned out where Jerry Jones is still going to be Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm. But, and what did the tuna say, though?
Peace. I'm out of here.
Peace.
Yeah.
Because I don't do it that way. And you got to look at it, man.
You know? Are you aware that even though the tuna left the Cowboys, he had set us up coach-wise to be good for a decade, and they got rid of all of them.
Sure did. Everybody gone now.
It was like, holy crap. And you know who I'm not? What's that guy's name that's the offensive coordinator for Dallas?
That young dude I know you're talking about with the dark hair.
Yeah,
Kellen
Winslow.
No, it's not Kellen Winslow. Kellen something, though.
That was a tight end.
Yeah, for the Chargers.
That, like, chased down old women.
That's his son.
Oh.
That was his son.
Oh, there you go. What was his name?
Kellen Winslow.
Oh,
yeah. Kellen Winslow Senior and Junior.
Wasn't he, like, tracking old women in his car?
In his car.
Mm-hmm. He was this close to being a serial killer.
That is very true.
You know what I mean?
That is very true.
I mean, when you start tracking people.
And the thing about it is he didn't even have to go there because he was a good tight end too. He was a good player, but you know, you never know what's on people's mind, man. You never know what's on their mind, man. Here is your father is a Hall of Fame tight end. He didn't win into the fame. You come up behind and go to the University of Miami, come out a superstar with the Browns. And then you go start hiding in parking lots, stacking off the old women. Come on, bro. What is it, man? What is it? It might be CTE, though. You never know. He passed away. They cut his brain up, and they be like, I can't even see how he was walking.
Yeah, but he wasn't one of those blocking tight ends going helmet to helmet with a 250-pound lineman.
He was coming across the middle, well, and maybe, dudes like Ray Lewis.
Maybe he suffered some concussions.
Henry, yeah. You had hitters, too.
I mean, the dude from the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they cut his brain up, and he had CTE badly. But he wasn't a blocking tight end either, because Gronk was more of a blocker than he was.
Well, I know Gronk's got it.
Oh, you see, by the way, he acting now.
They need to lock that dude up. So, anyway, well, let's move on out of the football. I can tell you this. This Aganorsa leaf is burning perfectly. It's smoking deliciously, and I'm a big fan. I don't smoke a lot of Aganorsa leaf, and I don't know why. Do you?
I don't. I can't tell why you don't smoke some.
Do you smoke a lot of Aganorsa leaf, no, you moron?
Dude, I smoke a lot of everything. That's what the dude, when I went to the club, he actually said, well, what do you smoke? I was like, everything. I was like, I try anything once, and if I like it, I go back to it. I said, and the dude that I do the podcast with, he's talked me into not giving up on something. Later on down the line, tried one more time. He looked, he's like, oh, okay.
You know what we're doing next week?
What's that?
We're going to both smoke unbanded cigars. We're not going to know what
which
they are.
Okay.
You bring me mine, I'll bring you yours, and they have to be good.
I was just getting ready to say, don't bring me no. I don't want to. You bring a turd rocket, man. I'm going to be like, dude, really?
Like the one you gave me today.
That was not a turd rocket.
Well, it was kind of a turd.
The flavor was good. It just started tunneling on
I didn't
you.
Get to enjoy any of the flavor. I had to cut it all.
You said that last third started tasting good. You said, but the rest of it you wished you could.
I got four clippings in the ashtray of a half inch each. Mm. That's 2 inches off the cigar. I see yours is burning like a rock star.
And I put all three of them over to you pick.
I know. That's just the way it goes. But this cigar is really good.
Hell yeah.
And I'm drinking unsweet tea, and Brian's drinking water. So we're having a non-drunk ball tonight because I'm on call.
He's on call.
And so, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I got to drive tomorrow. So
I can tell you this, though. come Saturday at 1800.
It's going to be a different world.
I'm going to be drinking, baby. I'm going to be drinking.
This is going to be a different world.
I mean, working 12 days in a row with no liquor, that's a rough 12 days for me.
So you got to make it.
Got to make it. Got to do what I got to do. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not the norm.
I understand.
But I'm on vacation during Christmas.
I go on vacation after, right? Well, doing it after Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, I already know I'm just going to be a drunk Santa whole week.
I'm not doing anything.
Ho.
I'm not going to do shit. I'm going to sit back and rest for the new year. Get prepared for 2023.
Nice.
Because these last 2-3 years, whoo, Jesus, 2020, 2021, 2022 have been something. So I'm going to get prepared for 23 this time.
Well, I tell you what, though, 22 mm-hmm. has gone by really fast to me.
It has. This year shot by. Folks looked up like, damn, it's July already. Yeah.
But you know what they say,
was that
the older you get,
the faster time goes.
Well, not just that. The days get longer and the years get shorter.
How does the days get longer, but the years get still the same?
Because you're working your ass off. That's why.
I work smart, not hard.
I just work.
I know. I work smart, not hard. Mm-mm. Some days for me.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, well, there's different levels of hard.
Yeah.
You can ask my wife.
Oh, God.
No. What I'm going to say is, I mean, you know, just because I'm not slinging a
sledgehammer
doesn't mean I'm not working hard.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
I understand that.
When you're trying to use this old brain that's been through a lot, you know, it's hard work.
It's hard work.
It's hard work. So anyway, hey, guys, we're going to have a couple of subject matters here. The first one is cigar boxes.
Box.
I mean, you really take cigar boxes for granted.
True.
You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. There's a few cigars that come out that they really do something special on the box, mm-hmm. and you appreciate it. But what do you know, like, about the history of cigar boxes?
None.
So really, I'm gonna give you the history. I'm gonna give you a little lesson today. Right. And I printed out some material, and I can't hardly read some of it because my printer sucks. But the cigar box. Some are very plain, like Rocky Patel, the Cuban blend, just plain box. Uh-huh. And then you have other boxes like the Fuente Opus X. Anything that Gurkha makes is going to be in a fancy box because that's how they sell cigars. Yeah. But, you know, when you get down to it, the boxes are just to hold your cigars. Mm-hmm. But let me read some of this to you. If you're buying luxury class cigars, there's an exception that the packaging lives up to the brand image. But though they're equal parts, storage units, and marketing tactic, the cigar boxes have an interesting backstory of their own, whether it's because of their particularly utility or their general hoarding mentality. Live on after the box are long gone. After the cigars are gone, you have the box. And so as a new cigar smoker, tell me if you did this. You saved all the boxes.
You know we did. No, I did. I did.
And now it's like, no, I got to get rid of that.
Got to get rid of them.
Got to get rid of them. You probably saw when you came to the studio, there was like 8 boxes in the trash can. And there was one on the ground because it didn't fit. And
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I put all those boxes in the trash and one of them fell out.
Okay.
But when you get into the history of it, the first cigar box was made by H. Upman.
H. Upman.
H. Upman was the first. And let me read this to you. With hundreds of cigars being packaged in a single box, because they didn't just do like 20 cigars. Mm-hmm. A box might have 25, 50, 100, 200. And so that was how they got them. And then consider this. In 1804, the tax on sticks imported from the Caribbean or from Europe was $2 on 1,000 cigars. Today, according to the U.S. Treasury of the Alcohol and Tobacco Trade and Tax Bureau, the same lot of cigars is taxed at 52.75% of the price, with a cap of $402.60 per 1,000 cigars. I mean, dude, $2 for 1,000 cigars, and today we're paying up to $402 of tax on that 1,000 cigars. That's some taxation. I feel like I don't have any representation.
Let's pass some.
Yeah. So now that cigar boxes were... Oh, so whenever in... what year was it? I bypassed a whole page. That's why we jumped. But anyway, Upman started using the boxes. And I don't know if you know this, but the Upmans were a family of German bankers. Sometime around 1840s, brothers Hermann and August Upman convinced their father it would be a grand idea to open a bank branch in Cuba. Hermann, it seems, benefited from the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was the bank a success from the start, but the Upman brother was quite the cigar enthusiast. His relocation to Havana was a no-brainer. Shortly after Hermann began sending cigars from various Cuban factories back home to Europe, they would be packaged in a cedar box stamped with the bank's name and given as gifts to their most influential clients, as well as for marketing purposes.
Mm.
In just a few short years, Upman was immersed in cigar exporting. The bank would go on to fail by the 1920s. The cigar venture did too, until it was purchased from bankruptcy. So I didn't even know that. Mm-mm. The Upmans went tits up and had to sell off everything. But because of what they had done in America, cigar boxes were then mandated by American law in 1863.
Okay.
Before that, you could just send them in whatever, you know, bags, baskets,
baskets,
whatever.
Newspaper.
But Americans were blazing through their smokes at a furious rate in the mid-late 1800s.
Oh, yeah, because everybody was smoking.
And the number of stateside factories were growing by day. There also wasn't much government regulation regarding manufacturing of cigars at the time. So in an effort to have at least some semblance of rules, the U.S. government decided to lay out a strict guideline set for how cigars were to be made, packaged, and sold. Cigar makers were already selling their goods in smaller boxes. But in 1863, the packaging of cigars in boxes was made mandatory.
Hmm.
According to Tony Hyman at Cigar History Info, the already strict rules would again amend in the next 24 months. The contents of the box had to be 25, 50, 100, 250, or 500 cigars. You know why they did that?
Yeah, because they didn't have the Vitolas like.
Well, they wanted to make it easy on taxes.
Yeah, because they knew exactly how many were in there.
Boom. And the same weight, you know. So the materials used for box making were regulated as well. Only cigar boxes made of glass and or wood were permitted. Later, tin boxes eventually allowed a few years later. But by 1878, laws had been relaxed to allow for novelty stogie packaging. Since then, creativity and ingenuity have reigned, resulting in boxes made of cardboard, plastic, metals, and aluminum, and brass, ceramics, leather, and a combination thereof.
Yep.
So,
boxes.
Cigar boxes make damn good instruments.
Yeah, because doesn't Dwayne make instruments out of them?
I think he does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen like bass guitars, electric guitars, and
banjos.
I mean, they make everything out of them. Mm-hmm. So here's what they say here. Now that the cigar boxes were legally required, the question arose, what do we do with all of them once they're emptied? Credit our industrious forefathers for upcycling their garbage and making cigar instruments as far back as the Civil War.
Wow.
Soldiers didn't have anything to make instruments with, and they had all these cigar boxes, and then they started making like fiddles out of them. I've never seen one of those.
Me neither. But I can see it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it being done, yeah.
And it says, as the American South was ravaged by deep poverty that lasted long after the Depression, so-called primitive instruments like a cigar box or the cigar box guitar, or it's called CBG, became essential to the development of blues. Artists had the skills to make the music, but not the coin to buy real instruments.
Yeah, that's true.
So they made their own with found items, and considering how cheap cigars were at the time, couldn't go wrong by using the box.
Not at all.
And I saw on a forum, and I'll have to double check this, but someone commented that Jimi Hendrix's first guitar was a cigar box guitar. I don't know if that's true, but that's what somebody said. You should Google that while we're looking. And then primitive they may be, CBGs have had a strong resurgence in the past decade or two and attracted veteran players known more for their six-string work. Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones is using one on an album did out in 2016. Paul McCartney played a slide guitar box four-string for fronting with the Foo Fighters on TV. Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, Tom Waits, and Ed King from Lynyrd Skynyrd all had cigar box guitars. So, I mean, it's pretty cool that it turned into a thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
What'd you find?
Everybody keeps talking about, nobody is talking about the first one, but they keep saying his first electric guitar was a Super Ozark, which was a gift from his father in 1959.
Well, did you Google Jimi Hendrix and cigar guitar?
Yeah, and then I went from everything to first guitar, favorite guitar. It's not talking about a cigar box, so I'm wondering where they got that information from.
Well, I mean, if it was somebody leaving a comment, so that's why I was like, I doubt if that's true.
Anyway,
while you're looking that up some more, we'll dive on in. But Cuban cigar boxes have secret codes. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
There's a lot to unpack here in a little space, but I'm going to try to give it the broad strokes. That's what she said. When it comes to Cuban cigars, there's a bit of science in figuring out what some of the stamping and markings mean, both in and on the box. Some will also be helpful in determining the age of the box or its collectability if it's empty. A few good things to look for is, up until around the time of Castro, the island's tobacco industry, the stamps on Cuban cigar boxes had some printing in English. After the 1960s, the Cuban stamps were printed in Spanish. In 1985, Francisco Padron, the president of the Habanos SA at the time, instituted an encryption system that allowed factory workers, distributors, and retailers to be able to determine information about the factory where the cigars were made, right down to also the month and year. Within 4 years, made by hand, Hecho Amano was replaced by totally handmade. And in Spanish, it's Toto Mantenimiento.
No, it does not say that.
Says something like that.
Okay. All right.
That was my impression of a deaf reader.
Yeah, I got you information.
In 1994, the Cuba Tobacco, the stamp-run tobacco monopoly that had been producing and distributing Cuban cigars, was replaced by the newly formed Habanos S.A., so were the stamps on the boxes, which are now graced with the firm's name. Padron's coding system use the combination of numbers, letters, some of the code ID'd the factory of that specific box, and other digits and letters were useful for internal reasons. Anyway.
Yeah, I found your information.
Okay, what'd you find?
In the premiumguitar.com, it talks about the modern cult of the cigar box guitar. And it states in there, most of us have read this magazine, like to oogle, purchase, and play high-end guitars on both the boutique and mass-produced variety, treating them as precious objects of the art, often missing the satisfaction and discovery of creating music on a simple, inexpensive instrument. While high-end guitars have their place, there's a lot to be said for going deep into something with a raw edge, such as the Delta Blues pioneers did. There's one thing Muddy Waters, Son House, Buca White, Mississippi Fred McDowell, Jimi Hendrix, and many others had in common. They started playing on homemade cigar box guitars, fashioned with materials they were readily available in their humble circumstances.
Yeah, I didn't read that part, but there was one guitar player that took a cigar box, a piece of wood, and four wires off of a screen door.
Uh-huh. And made a guitar.
Right. I'm like, you got four wires off of a screen door.
Wow. Wow. I need that.
No bass.
Turn around.
But here's the other thing is, cigar boxes, when you get a cigar box, keep it sealed until yes, you're ready to smoke.
I learned that.
Have cigars in a box, it's a new box, and it has the cellophane on it, leave the cellophane on it. That helps keep the moisture in the box. And it says here that if you keep the cellophane on the box and don't open it, your cigars are going to be good for like a month, as long as you don't like put it on the dashboard of your truck.
Which somebody will.
Yeah. So that's not my fault. But it says, resist any and every urge you have to take the shrink wrap or cellophane off the box. Yes, there's good stuff in there. We know you want to look. You want to get a whiff of it. Don't make
that mistake.
Make sure you keep that box sealed. Yeah. If the box has to live outside of a humidor ecosystem, try to put it somewhere in your house where it's cool, not cold, just cool and damp.
Yeah.
Try to recreate that humidity that you would be seeing in your humidor. If you have one big enough, try sticking the box in a big Tupperware. And then throw some Boveda packs in there. And I actually know people who do that.
Yeah.
Z-Man, I think Z-Man's got tons of boxes. Yeah. And it's not Tupperware, but it's airtight boxes. Mm. So anyway, there's what you know about cigar boxes.
Cigar boxes.
I mean, I was just thinking about it the other day. I was like, I wonder how long they've been putting them in boxes. Because, you know, back when we were kids, they were made out of cardboard, at least all the cigar boxes that I came across.
With that one little nail in the top to hold it closed.
I was always fascinated as a kid with those King Edward cigar boxes. That was pretty cool.
It was. I just looked at them like, okay, all right.
Oh, no, I collected all kinds of stuff. I had my Army men in some. I had my playing cards in some. I had my jacks and my, tops that we would spin, you know.
I didn't spin tops.
I'm just kidding. I didn't either. I wasn't born in the 40s.
I had dice.
You know, I was thinking about that. I saw the coolest coffee table I've ever seen. It's a glass top coffee table, and it, you know, it has wood all the way around, but then the middle is glass. The tabletop actually comes off, and inside there is a dice shooting.
So you can shoot.
Like craps table. A real craps table in there. And I was like, how cool. And I don't even play craps. But it was and this was probably made back in the 70s. It's old. But I was like, that's badass.
That is. I would love to have that. I couldn't have it in my house, though, because my wife would lose her mind. It'd be in the garage.
Well, that's where it should be.
Yeah, because I'm going to be out there shooting.
Right.
I ain't going to lie to you. Dude. You know, that's
how I thought about you when I saw it.
You know, that's how I supported me and my ex-wife when I got out the Army, man. I was shooting dice and playing cards every day, man. Looking for a job, and I was like,
what kind of cards did you play?
Deuce and Tunk.
Oh, see, if you played those, you could play Texas Hold'em.
No, too long.
Too long?
Too long of a game, yep. Dude, I'm sitting there. I'm doing so. I ain't in Texas Hold'em.
Nope.
Deuce and Tunk. Give me a couple of sugar cubes with them black dots on it.
But
I'm
going
to try to take every dime you got.
You've
in your
never
pocket.
Played Texas Hold'em.
No, I haven't.
So you don't know the left. To me, Texas Hold'em is possibly the greatest game that there's ever been.
Why? Because it's in Texas?
No. It's because of the competition and everything that can happen during each and every hand.
Have you ever played Deuce or Tunk?
I don't even know what that
That's
is.
That's what I'm saying. So you can't. These are games that people, just like poker. You can get killed playing these games. Those two games right there, you can wind up dead, especially if you winning and talking shit. you winning all my money. Yeah, people have died. It's the same way with craps.
I've actually been in a game, nobody died, but I've been in a game where tempers flared over minute little things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whoa, calm down. And, you know, the worst thing you can tell someone that's uptight is to calm down.
Yeah.
But one night we were playing Texas Hold'em, and two dudes were in for a lot of money in this one hand. Mm. Dude flips his cards over, and he's like, I've got two pair. And I was like, no, you got a full house. And the dude he was playing against got pissed that I
told that you identified that for
right.
him. Yeah.
But that's legal.
Yeah.
Like when you go to Vegas or any casino and you play, if you turn over your hand and say, I got a pair, but you got three of them, the dealer's going to be like, nope, you got three of a kind. Yeah. And what do you got?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's no, I screwed up and said the wrong thing.
I got you.
Yeah, and that dude was pissed at me, and I was like, the dude beat you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, just because he misspoke. Oh,
he didn't know he beat me until you said something. No.
Well,
it's right there. We all know he beat you.
Right. Even if he was wrong, he still beat you.
Still
so
beat you.
That's the way that goes.
Yeah, I can see that. But it's just, it's. I guess it's the environment. You know, where I'm from, people don't play. Well, back then, they didn't play a lot of poker. Now, poker, Texas Hold'em, it's a big, strong game now.
It's
everywhere now. It is everywhere.
It really, really rocketed back whenever they had the World Series of Poker and Chris Moneymaker won. Like an amateur.
I heard that name. He was an amateur?
He was an amateur.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know, but the World Series of Poker is like, I don't know what it started out as, but I mean, when you go play in it,
first of all, it costs
$10,000 to enter.
Yeah.
And there's like over 1,000 players. Mm. So for an amateur
to make it
all the way to number one, I mean, first of all, you had to get lucky because there's always going to be you caught a card when you needed it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you calculate what your odds are catching it is still a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
And anyway, he won. But when that happened, everybody was like, an amateur won. I could do that.
I can do that, yeah.
And so then the masses joined in.
Because I can tell you, it's large. It's large to the fact that going back home now, you could see things where they were advertising Texas Hold'em tournaments and stuff. And I was like, man, when I was coming up in the 90s, man, 2000s,
you know what? We need to have a Texas Hold'em tournament at the Leaf.
I'll watch.
Do you know how to deal?
Oh, yeah, I know how to deal. I know how to deal.
You could deal.
You could be
the dealer.
I can deal my ass.
All right. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Can you shuffle?
I can shuffle. That's dealing to
Can
us.
You like... All right.
Slide them out.
I am a horrible dealer. I'm not a horrible dealer, but I can't shuffle cards and do all the little things. My mother could like,
slide them across, flip them back.
And I was always like, one hand, how do you do that? And she's like, fingers. I don't know.
Yeah. And I used to be able to flip a quarter between my fingers, but now they're a little bit more fat.
Really?
They're fatter and pudgier now. So
those aren't fingers. Those are sausage links.
For real. I can't do it now, but I used to be able to just flip it down and flip it back up, flip it down, flip it back up.
A quarter?
Yeah, a quarter. I was amazed. I wanted to play a piano, but my fingers weren't long enough. So I had the dexterity, but they weren't long enough.
I wanted to play an instrument, and I was...
What instrument?
It didn't matter, because
my
brain was dumb when it comes to music. That's why when I was in a band, I was the singer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I couldn't play shit.
Not even the tambourine.
Like, I picked up the guitar, I tried the bass... And I had people trying to show me, and my fingers don't work like that. Like, if these fingers are on my left hand or trying to do something, then this hand is frozen. And if this hand is doing something, then this hand is frozen.
Yeah.
Can't put them. And the drums.
Oh, I love the drums, man.
Dude. No. This hand's moving. This hand stops.
And you got to use your foot.
Oh, yeah. That's I didn't ever even try that.
But see, you could do it because you could drive a stick.
Can't do
it. It's the same thing. All four appendages at one time.
Didn't work.
You rode a motorcycle. All four appendages at one time.
Didn't work.
So it couldn't translate into the music realm.
I couldn't even play just the trap drum.
Wow.
The snare.
Wow.
Like. This is the movement that I can do.
He's saying that's just it.
I mean, what is this? 1-2, 1-2, yeah. 1-2.
It's a 4-beat. Yeah. You way off.
Long as that works, I'm in. Yeah. I could never do it. Now, like, I'll tell you this. I'm driving cross country. Good song comes on. I can play an air guitar.
I was just going to say, you probably
will rock your world.
Air guitar, drums,
bass, so organ.
You do it then.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm just like, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
You could be the mass singer.
Oh, yeah. But no, I got no skill music. I don't have an ear for it.
Yeah. I played the trumpet. I wanted to play the drums, but everybody wanted to play the drums. So they was like, nah, I'll try this. And I was good for a while, but I was like, then that's when I fell in love with football, and you couldn't do both.
Yeah.
Where I was from.
So.
Oh, our high school won the state championship Saturday too.
Nice.
57-7.
Wow. Damn.
I mean, dude, you should see their offensive line.
Were they like that one kid we saw?
They got a professional offensive line. Two dudes are going to. Well, one's going to Alabama, one is going to A&M, one's going to Texas, somebody's going to like Arizona somewhere. All five of them linemen are going D1.
None of them are going to go play for Deion Sanders?
No. And here's the thing, which I wish they would. The game before the state game to get to state, the running back ran for 348 yards. 348 yards.
So the other team didn't show up.
Yeah, they did. They won by 3 points. By 3 points. Him running for 348 yards.
So what was the passing stats like?
The passing stats were outrageous, too.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was all off. People say, it was all offense. No, it really wasn't. You just had two superstar teams that were out there. And you had to bring your AAAAA game. And this is 6A. Let me
guess. It was tight in the first half.
Yep.
And in the second half, it opened up.
Opened totally up.
That is a normal situation when you have two powerhouses come together, because the defense gets tired.
Tired of being out there and running.
And once the defense gets tired, the the advantage goes to the offense.
Yeah, and then it comes down to who had the ball last.
And if you have that sizable line, I mean,
these boys are huge.
In the second half, your defensive line is worn out.
Can't do anything with them.
Mm-mm.
Can't do anything with them. But I looked at the score, and 2 years ago, that team beat Eastside in the state championship. So they thought, and 3 years ago. So it's like they didn't play three times in the last 5 years. And they Eastside didn't play in 2020. Nobody went to the state championship because it was gone. But they thought that they were going to have a chance with them this time. 57-7 They scored first. Eastside came down and scored. It took them three plays to score. And then they went to kick the field goal, high snap. The holder was the quarterback. He got the ball, looked up, and there is 6'5" tight end was standing in the end zone by itself.
Wow.
So they got it went up 8-7, and from then on, it was just score, 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 score. I was like, good Lord. And I wanted to go to that game. Oh, I wanted to go to that game.
Where do they play at?
At the University of Illinois in Champaign.
So we're going to switch gears here. Let's talk about Tabanero. Like, I talked to Yonko today, and, you know, they make their own boxes.
Yes, and I told Stanley's about Tabanero.
Awesome.
I said, you got to get these sticks. He's like, what do you mean? I said, dude, the Sun Grown, you a sellout.
And I was smoking a Nero today, the Maduro.
Yeah.
Great stick. Woo. But what I found interesting was I had already decided that we were doing the show on cigar boxes.
Uh-huh.
And out of nowhere, he sends me a picture of one of his boxes. But, you know, they do laser cutting and make their own boxes.
Okay.
And then, but they, like, you know, the cedar inserts?
Mm-hmm.
He takes on all the inserts, and I'm sure it's long, you know, pieces of long wood, and runs them through a router to curve that top edge.
Wow.
And I was like, you do that on all the boxes? Wow. And he was like, yep. So I was like, how cool is it? This boutique cigar brand.
That type of quality.
Is doing their cigars. They test draw their cigars. Yeah. They make their own boxes. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I'm working on something special with Tabanero. And I can't say what we're doing yet, but it's going to be cool.
Gotcha.
It's going to be real cool.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you after the show.
Gotcha, gotcha.
But it's not done yet, so I can't say.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, check out the show note link for Tabanero and go by and order yourself a sampler, order yourself some Sun Grown, some Neros. And I was talking to my cousin last week or so, and he had to buy a humidor, and he bought one from Case Elegant. In fact, he bought the Octador just like mine.
Oh, man.
But I was asking him, I was like, so what are you smoking? Because, you know, I don't know what he smokes.
Okay.
And he said, actually, I've been smoking a lot of Tabanero. And then he listed off a few other ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so what are you smoking on the Tabanero? And he said, the Sweet Tips. Now, did you even know that they make Sweet Tips?
No, I didn't.
So they make a mild plus or a medium minus that is basically like the Sun Grown or Connecticut, but it's got a sweet tip on the tip.
I did not know that.
And I was asking Yonko about it, and he was like, we make those because it's quality tobacco, just like all of our other cigars, but there's a lot of new cigar smokers that you don't want to blow them out of the water. And so he said that they've been a huge success.
Mm.
So if you're into a mild plus or a medium minus, check those out.
Mm.
And so, you know what? Man, I was even thinking I might have to give that a try just to see. Just
you
to see.
And a sweet tip.
Now, did you see I left you a cigar on the table?
Yes. Oh, no, I put it over there.
Oh, that's yours.
Okay.
That's one of those sweet tips from Harry and the Hendersons. I'm joking.
Dude, that's a Yeti.
That's from Tirano, I think.
Okay.
I don't know who that's from. I think it's from Espinosa. Espinosa, that's right.
Okay, Espinosa.
But anyway.
Yep, Espinosa.
But when I was reading the details on Yonko's, they're called Sweet Lips, but.
Are they called Sweet Lips for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
And, here we go.
But he said that it starts off like a mild sweetness, but then after you start smoking it, it kind of dissipates and just goes away.
The sweetness.
Though. Right.
Okay.
So that's kind of an interesting thing where it doesn't just.
Stay throughout the entire stick.
Kill you with sweetness.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And who doesn't like sweet lips?
I'm not going.
Sweet lips. Sweet lips.
I was going to say, when was it on MASH? But it was Hot Lips on MASH.
That was Hot Lips. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it Hot? Who was Houlihan? Was that Hot Lips Houlihan? Yeah, there you go. She liked a man with a slow hand.
I'm done with you.
Sorry.
Man. I'm done.
Anyway, check out the link in the show notes for Tabanero. Check them out. I'm telling you right now, I'm smoking them by the dozen. And then let's talk about the Leaf for a moment. I mean, the Leaf is the home away from home.
Yes.
I mean, if they let me put a cot in there, I would just stay there on some occasions.
Some occasions. You look up and he's still here? Yeah. Especially on vacation.
Hey. Dude. And I mean, you know how often I show up in my pajamas.
I needed a ride to pick up my car from the shop. Rob shows up. Pajama pants, flip-flops, and this it wasn't Oscar the Grouch. And this Grover, the cookie monster colored hoodie that looked like
a Muppet.
You know, it looked like ape fur. It was just everywhere. And I'm looking at him like, are you warm?
I got another one. I got a brown one too.
Oh my
that God. One's Fozzie the Bear.
He turned into Jim Henson's Muppets.
They are warm.
I'm just looking at you like, really? I'm like, he came out in public in this shit. But he was comfortable. That's all I can say. He was comfortable. He was like, I don't care. Shoot. Who cares? I'm like, man, look at Rob.
Yeah, you know, I went to the Leaf wearing that get up and somebody, I think it was Brian, was like,
who, Wilcox, your name?
Yeah, Wilcox was like, you just go anywhere dressed like that? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I'm off.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
And I also, I call it the kangaroo pocket. You know, you got that little pocket in front.
Yeah.
I call that the kangaroo pocket.
Okay.
I pull out a bottle of bourbon and I'm like, yeah, we're fixing to get it on.
Something else. So, man.
Anyway,
check
out the Leaf. There's a phone number in the show notes. Everything you could possibly look for. They got pipe tobacco. They got pipes. They got cigar accessories, ashtrays, lighters, whatever you need. They got a humidor.
Beard oil.
Dude, we talked about that last week on the show.
Man, you could get everything for a man at the Leaf.
Let me tell you something. I now have it's a solid beard balm.
You do?
There? Yeah. Smells good, but you just put a little bit on your fingertips and just
rub it in.
Uh-huh. And you know, rub it in, rub it in.
Sometimes you do look like, what was his name?
Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams.
That's the look I'm going for. Grizzly Adams.
You're knocking it out the park,
Thank
bro.
You. Thank you.
Knocking it out the park.
That's what my wife said. She's like, I don't know about this new look you're going around with. And I was like, what's wrong with it? She's like, it's unruly. It's unruly. And I was like, perfect.
That's what you was looking for.
That's the look I'm going for is unruly.
Wow.
But I did tell my wife I would get a haircut before we leave to go to Christmas to my mother-in-law's. Mm. I don't know if I'll come through on that promise. But I did make that promise.
Wow.
You know what? And I usually, I always, you know, take care of my promises. But this one.
You don't know.
I don't know yet. Yeah, I'm. What do you say? The jury's still out.
Still out. Gotcha.
So anyway, call up the Leaf during the show notes. Hey, we're going to take a quick little break. And we're going to come back with the McAuliffe Minute. We got a really good trivia question. Everybody has a chance to win, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey guys, thanks for hanging through the break, and we are back. And before we dive into it, I want to talk a minute about Case Elegance. It's the holiday season. It's time to get a humidor for yourself.
Yes.
Or someone else.
Yes.
And let me tell you, they are killing it with some badass humidors. I just saw. Now, were you in on the message I sent out about the leather bags?
No.
You know my leather bag?
Yeah.
So they got a shipment in of the leather bags, mm-hmm. and you know, they're $250.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the zipper on the inside pocket is not working as intended. So they're selling all of them for $99. And
seems like I have another leather bag.
And if you buy anything from Case Elegance, you can use our new code. Okay. Our new code, which will be in the show notes. It's CT Smoke.
CT Smoke.
Yeah, you know, cigar talk.
Smoke.
Right.
Okay.
So CT Smoke will get you 10% off, get you a challenge coin, and they sell everything that I want.
Mm.
Humidors, cutters, lighters, man bags. You know, I love myself a good man bag.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a bad bag, too. I like it.
Oh, dude.
I like it.
You know what? I hope they're not listening. But I bought two of them. when I saw $99 and how much I love mine, I bought one for each of my brothers.
Okay.
I was like,
take care of them. I got you.
Dude.
Nice little Christmas gift.
Boom.
Mm, handed.
Welcome to the Rob Jones Christmas. I ain't no Scrooge.
I understand, sir. I understand.
But for, you know, $99.
Can't beat it.
You can't beat it.
Mm-mm.
To give someone a bag that.
Quality.
Oh.
Looks good.
And I mean, dude, you know what? My bag, that zipper has been open.
Since you got it. I don't close
the zipper.
You say, I never close. So, I didn't know it was a problem.
I was like, I don't even think it needs a zipper.
Oh, man, that is smooth. That is $99. Yeah, I'm getting me another leather bag.
Dude, if you haven't seen that bag, look in the show notes and go to Case Elegance and look under the, what's it called, the Buckshaw?
Yes, the Buckshaw.
And that bag is, and I'm going to tell you right now, they may sell out before this show even comes out.
Yeah, especially dropping the price down to 99.
I mean, dude, like, you know, in our Discord, Noli from Case Elegance is in our Discord, and she came out and said, hey, just in case anybody's wondering, those leather bags are now $99 because there was a zipper issue on the, the inside pocket. And I was like,
bless it.
Do you have a link?
Blessing.
I went and bought two.
Ah,
I figure I'm gonna whenever my brothers open those up, I'm gonna be like, man, I hope you got me something good.
And not a turd rocket.
Cause I have a feeling their gift will not be as good. I like being the better gift giver.
We know.
You know what I mean?
You love rubbing everything.
I don't know. I like taking care of people and rubbing it in.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You can preface it any way you want to. We know what the end means.
It's like, you got me a cassette tape?
You'll be all right, bro.
I'll be good. And you know, I really don't care if I get anything.
We know.
I'm always, well, you know
that's
what?
My mindset.
You know what, you know what the best thing anyone can buy me is? What do you think?
Either cigars or leave me alone.
Both of those are wrong.
What?
Buy me some good bourbon. I always got cigars.
Okay.
I don't need you to buy me cigars, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
But it's easy to get me a good ball of bourbon.
I love that my wife, before she buys me cigars, she talks to Jay first.
Yeah, that's great. But I'm talking to like my brothers.
They're not going
to
do it.
They're not going to talk to anybody. They can walk in and be like, oh, look at that shiny one. It looks, it's an acid. You know, back when Rob was in high school, he loved acid. So.
Not this type.
Yeah. Stay away. Yeah. Stay away. But no. Back to Case Elegance, though. Have you seen the new humidor that has the door that opens this way?
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm at that point. I got too many humidors.
I know.
I'm just like, I can't explain to her another humidor coming to the house.
I want
to
get the new one with the door.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to give my octador away.
To somebody. I got you.
Yeah.
That could be a good choice, too.
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay. And you know what? It's confession time.
Uh-oh.
So, you know when we did spin the wheel?
Yeah.
And Adam won?
Yeah.
And what did he win? A humidor.
Humidor, yeah.
And so, when was that?
Months ago.
So, it hasn't made it to the shipping place yet.
Oh, my God.
I know. So, I told him, I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to mail it out this week. That's this week coming. And so anyway, I'm going to put some cigars in there for him to make up for my stupidity.
And his patience.
And his patience.
To award his patience.
Yes, yes. And so I thought you might want to donate a couple of sticks.
I would have got it to the post office.
I know, but it didn't happen. And so I just thought maybe you'd want to be nice.
I would have got it to the post office.
You know what? Here's the thing. You know Zeka. Zeka sent me a message and said, get the dimensions and the weight, leave it on your porch, and it will be gone tomorrow.
Yep.
I was like, well, now I'm putting cigars in there, too.
Oh, man. Glad to hear from you. Zeka said something, man.
Oh, Zeka. You know what? Dude. Zeka gave me the best advice that I've gotten a long time.
What's that?
He said, here's the thing. Quit doing all that you do extra because you don't have time for that.
Mm.
And he says, you're over-promising. It's not because you don't want to do it. Yeah. It's because you don't have
the time to do it. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That's a good advice. Because you know me. I'm like all over the... Why are you crossing your arms like you told me that? You never told me that.
We did tell you that.
What did you tell me?
Me, Larry, and Jay told you. Especially about the next telethon that's coming up. He's like, no, you're not doing everything anymore. Stop. You want, and your thing is, it's not that you don't trust anybody to get it done. You just know how you want it done. So you will only do it because you know how you want things done. Well, you got to understand, there, you have people around you that have expertise in everything that you need. But you refuse to allow us to. You do. This the last telethon was the that was the mountain.
That was the icing on the cake.
That was it. We sat there and looked at you, and it was hard because we saw you falling, and we wanted, but then you got your attitude like, well, yeah, you should, they should have said that a long time ago. He's like, okay, that's my cue to shut my damn mouth, and that's what I did. I still tried to help you the best I could to keep you from drowning, but you were like, you just didn't want anything, and I understood why, because what you had envisioned did not happen at all, and that just blew you out the water because you was like, I had it. It was perfect, yeah. But you need to use those that are around you.
I had a vision, and it did not pan out at the way all. I thought. And that's usually the way things go for me. I plan, and when it's something I've never done before,
yeah.
You know, I think I know how it's going to go, and then when I show up, it doesn't go that way at all. Mm-mm. And sometimes that stresses me out a little bit.
And it did that day.
That
really
day,
did.
I was full tilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see poker players go full tilt, I was tilted.
You were. And I was just sitting there looking like, man, I want to help him. But, dude, I
there was
I know,
no way.
I know,
there was no way to help me that day.
And I know me. You, if people snap at me, I get... You know, that anger comes out, and I'm like, me and him too damn cool for that. And yeah. I understand where he is right now. I'm going to just let him do what he needs to do and what I can do. Because there were still things that I did on the side that you didn't know about, and I made sure you didn't know about it to make sure that shit was running. And I was like, but he going to find out. I said, because this shit ain't happening again. That's what I said. And I pulled Larry to the side. I said, next year, we going to have a fucking committee on this shit. And we're going to have meetings. We're going to sit back, and we're going to plan this shit out the correct way. We got folks that deal with logistics. You got people that are organized like hell. You got an entire community around you that can help you make this damn thing exactly what your vision was. And you're going to use us next year, whether you want to or freaking not.
All
it's
right,
going to happen.
All right.
I'm done. I'm off the soapbox.
Thank you. Ooh. Man.
Yes, sir.
All right. So anyway, Adam, shipping it out this week. Guaranteed. Next week at this time, I'll be saying, Adam got it, and he was happy.
Gotcha.
And I'm shipping him a Case Elegance humidor.
Yes, a nice one.
The leather
yes,
one.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, the nice one.
So anyway, check out Case Elegance in the show notes code CTSMOKE.
CTSMOKE.
Anyway, let's jump into the McAuliffe Minute.
The McAuliffe.
So if you don't know, I'll go ahead and tell you. The McAuliffe Minute is where we do a trivia question. And I just make up random categories. This week, it's called Where Rob Was Born.
and it wasn't in a manger.
No. Anyway, this week's question is, what famous person was born in the same city as Rob with the initials JJ?
Okay.
Your choices. And to answer these, you'll see my email address in the show notes. In the subject matter, put McAuliffe Minute. That helps me find these emails. I get a lot of them. But anyway, put McAuliffe Minute in the subject, and then just put your letter and the like. What the answer, A, B, C, or D, and then the name of the person.
Yes.
That's all I need. Or if you want to say, hey, Bryant sucks, I'm down. Anyway.
You won't win with that.
Yeah. What famous person was born in the same city as I was with the initials JJ?
Okay.
The first one, Jimmy Johnson, Cowboys football coach.
Yeah.
Next one, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys. The next one, C, is Janis Joplin.
Hmm.
And then the last one is Johnny Jones.
Johnny Jones.
Okay. So that's your four choices.
A, B, C, and D.
Got you. Right. So even if you don't know, guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the chances of you winning and getting in. Now, if you win, or no, let me back that up. If you answer the question correctly, everybody who answers correctly, the name will go into like a drawing.
Uh-huh.
And then we select one. But everybody who answers correctly will be in the drawing at the end of the year for the NFT.
Gotcha.
That McAuliffe is going to make.
That's got you. Understood.
And so you're not going to want to miss that.
No, sir. No, sir.
Anyway, man, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show.
Hey, good show, man.
We do have a guest on the horizon.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do we have a name?
For the monkey?
Yeah.
No. No. No monkey name. And I don't even know what we're giving away for that now. I forgot.
Thomas Ape.
Thomas Ape?
Mm-hmm.
That's the name you want to go with for the monkey?
Thomas, last name Ape, A-P-E.
What?
Thomas, because everybody like, Thomas Ape? No, it's Ape.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay. That, at least somebody came up with a name.
I came up with several.
Nah, bro. No.
Red ass?
No. No.
That way, you know what? We'll have we'll have this face logo on the front, and on the back of the shirt, it's going to be a red baboon.
The only person to wear that is you and Zayka.
Yep.
the only two that would wear that.
Hey, I also want to say thank you to the Patreon members.
Yes.
I know I owe you guys some crew shows. And so this weekend, whenever I get off of my 12-day stretch, I've actually got like three shows that I just haven't edited, and I'm going to edit those and get them out. I was going to do that last week or Tuesday, and it didn't happen because I'm just crazy.
Gotcha.
I'm crazy. But anyway, thank you to all of our Patreon members.
Yes.
And if you would like to join, there will be a link for that in the show notes. I was going to say, I guess that's going to wrap it up.
That's it, bruh.
So I guess y'all have a great week. And until next time,
keep smoking.